Blog Talk Radio.
Speak to Allah. So all of you that are under my voice, I bring before you yours and my leader, the moral leader for all of humanity, Imam Wasidi Muhammad. Takbir! Takbir! Takbir!
Allahu Akbar.
Dear believers, Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We seek Him for guidance. We ask Him for forgiveness. We pray that He strengthen our hearts and give us the blessing of pure faith, of sound faith, and increase us in understanding. We pray His peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, the last of the messengers, upon his descendants, his companions, all the righteous. Ameen. Let me first say I thank Allah for an opportunity and blessing of being here today in Camden, New Jersey, at Masjid al-Nur. And I have to say that I didn't expect to find in Camden, New Jersey, the growth that I see here in the facility and in the people. When I was here, we only had very few people, and we didn't have such places as this to meet in. So this is really a sign of health and growth, and that's what we need. We wanted to be with you all last night. We missed our plane. We got there, but weren't able to process our tickets and everything in time for us to come. My wife, she wanted to come with me, but the weather has been extremely hot there in Chicago, and the air condition went out, and I don't think I made a real effort to get it back on because of money problems or something. I don't know. But now I got a sick wife, and I'm sorry for it. The heat and other things just got her down right now. But inshallah, she'll be fine. And we hope that next time we get an invitation, we will be able to come, both of us. Allah Most High says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Indeed, the believers are those, when the name of God is mentioned, their hearts tremble. And if the revelations are recited for them, they have an increase in faith. And on their Lord, they put their trust. Those who keep up prayers and who spin out of what is they have been given or provided, of what they have been provided. And again, Allah Most High says in the Quran, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرْجٍ وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُتَّهِرَكُمْ لِيُتَّهِرَكُمْ. God does not want that you should be put into difficulty, but it is His wish that you be made pure. وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ And that he may complete his favor on you in order that you will be thankful. Thankful. Now, just reading that without reflecting and thinking real seriously and deep into the matters of life and living and getting along with each other, etc., we may miss the weight, the gravity of this particular revelation, that God wants that we should be purified, and God wants to complete his favor on us that we may be thankful. There are many people who live, they go around, they go about with a burdened heart, troubled mind, troubled soul, bad spirit, bad attitude.
Right.
And don't have thanks or grace or gratefulness anywhere near them. They can find nothing to be thankful for. People who feel grateful, who feel thankful, they are not miserable like people who don't feel thankful. People who don't feel thankful for anything, they're miserable people. But those who live with a sense of indebtedness, that someone has done good by me, that God has helped me, that I have had a friend, people who live with that kind of sense, they're not miserable. They're never miserable. They may be burdened, but never miserable. But you know, in Camden, New Jersey, and in these big cities along the East Coast, it's no different than it is in the Midwest, like Chicago. Most of the people are miserable. And even their pleasure or their appearance of being pleased is a fake, it's a phony, it's artificial, it's not real, not real. If you bring them a little ounce of reality, you'll see a demon and a nightmare right away. These are bad times. Bad times for the human soul, for the human spirit. We need something to appreciate. We need to find something that we consider to be a gift to us, a blessing to us, a help to us, a mercy to us, a favor to us, or something that we can be appreciative for. And if we can come into a spirit of appreciation, oh, it will turn that sad life around. God says that he wants to complete his favor on us. He wants to complete his favor on us. That on you, he says, meaning us, the people, and that is the believers who follow Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. It is his desire, it is his wish to purify you and to complete his favor on you, that you may be thankful. Now, we may think, the average person will read that or hear that and say, oh, God, he wants us to be thankful after he does that. No, that's going to make you thankful. God is saying that he's going to do something that's going to make you feel thankful. Yes. And that's a condition, that's a necessary condition for the human being. In order for him not to be in misery, he has to feel grateful, he has to feel appreciative for something. And once God favors us, oh, we come into a new spirit,
yes, sir.
A new spirit. We feel thankful. That's life. That's life. Trying the blues is death. Singing the praise of God is life. Brooding over what happened last night or yesterday or last year or 20 years ago is death. Right. Anticipating a greater tomorrow is life.
Yes, sir.
Do you know the Spirit is almost everything? Without the Spirit of life in us, there's hardly any hope for anything. We might need to improve our personal life. We might need to get the family in order. We might need to progress the community. We can't do anything if the Spirit is not there. And God, He favors us. He blesses us with guidance, with a religion that satisfies our total life needs. And He knows that if we accept it, it's going to give us a sense of improvement in our life and a sense of indebtedness and a spirit to say, thank you, God.
Yes.
And a spirit to smile at each other.
Yes.
See, when you feel grateful for something, you can smile at each other.
Right.
But that person that ain't got nobody to thank and nothing to give credit to, they can't even smile at another human being.
Right.
Unless they got a trick up their sleeve. You know, the prophets were blessed to see not only heaven, but also hell. In fact, most of them saw hell before they saw heaven. They were first taken and they were shown hell. Then they were shown heaven. Well, I believe I've seen hell. I hope I see heaven one day. Now, these poor souls that's walking around here in 1985, I know they're in hell. Miserable. And no one can help them. Mother can't help them. Daughter can't help them. Friend can't help them. Nobody can help them. Stranger can't help them. Nobody can help them. That's sad. Yeah, that's very sad. We need a sense of appreciation. And if we really give some thought, serious thought, to the blessing of faith, our conversion, our acceptance of Islam, give some thought to it. What are we accepting? What is Islam? Islam. What is it? We have to go to the Quran to find it. The answer is in the Quran. The answer is in Muhammad, the prophet. Peace be upon him. Because all of that makes up our religion. Belief in God, belief in his messenger, belief in the angel, belief in revelation. So all of this makes up our religion. So if we take serious note of what our religion is by first going through the Quran, hearing what Allah says in the Quran about the religion and about our own life needs, and then looking at the life of Prophet Muhammad and seeing the excellence of that man's life and how he served God so perfectly. And how he set an example for us so that when we argue, when we do each other wrong, you know, we can settle the argument. Either by going to the Quran or by going to Muhammad or both. We can even, the most uneducated person in this religion, once they learn the simple life of Muhammad the Prophet, they can settle a whole lot of arguments in their home or wherever they are if they're with Muslims. Say, hey, brother, would Muhammad do that? Peace and blessings be on him. Say, no, let's stop arguing over whether I think or your opinion or my opinion, is that fitting for Prophet Muhammad? Do you think you'd ever catch Prophet Muhammad doing that? Right? And it will be over. The argument is over. If we are believers. Because Allah says whatever he ordered the messengers, he ordered the believers. And Muhammad is an example for you. He's a model for you. Right? Yes.
So we know that Prophet Muhammad was no Superman, an upstairs being, and that he didn't live a life that is unreachable. But his purpose was to live a life that is reachable. A life that we can reach and a life that we can live ourselves.
Yes, sir.
That was his purpose. That's why he didn't have any Rolls Royce camels. That's why he didn't take a little bit of liquor, wine, for his stomach's sake. He lived perfect. He lived perfect in the law of God. Perfect in the law of God. As an example to us that I'm a human being just like you. I'm doing it. You can do it. And God has sent the message of Al-Islam for all of us to live. None of us can excuse ourselves from it. None of us can say, well, I just can't do that. How come you can't? What do you mean you can't do it? Are you subhuman? It was prescribed for human beings. Now, if you can't do it, what's wrong? You subhuman? You half ape and half man, or what is it? What's the problem? If you're a whole man, you should be able to do it. Because it was prescribed for you. This is the way we should look at our religion. And then, never excuse yourself. Never excuse yourself. Whenever we say, I can't do it, we excuse ourselves. That's making myself the exception. Never say, I can't do it. Say, I don't have the strength now. I pray Allah give me the strength. I'm not doing my duty. I pray Allah bless me one day to do my duty. Always have hope in the future. Always have faith that a better day will come. Never justify wrong. Once you justify wrong, you weaken the strength, the little strength you already have. Yes. But if you will accept that it's wrong and pray that tomorrow will be a little better than today, you strengthen what you already had. You become stronger for tomorrow. But if you excuse yourself, you make yourself weaker for the next challenge, weaker for the next situation. Yes. So let each of us take out the time to think about our religion, to think about what it offers us. Don't be afraid to compare it with other religions. I'm not afraid to compare it with other religions. I like for the people to tell me, what is Catholicism? Tell me all about it. Because if it's better than my religion, I'd like to have it. Yes. Don't be afraid. Representatives in the religion are in the path of God who are afraid of people coming in contact with other knowledge and other religions. They are poor representatives of the path of God. The good representative in the path of God, he invites you to look at everything. Shop around. But when you come back and get this, what I offer you here, I told you so. Right? I told you so. Now, don't be a fool and waste your time with things that you know are already worthless. Because a fool, you know, when you ask him to make a judgment on something, he'll stay looking at something he know ain't no good, can't stand up, it ain't fit for nothing. But he'll keep looking at it and looking for something good in it, you know. He ain't got enough time for that. If it fails to measure up to what God wants in you, to what you think God wants in you, you be the judge. If it fails to measure up what you think God wants in you, then don't waste time with it. As soon as you see it doesn't measure up, put it away because you got a lot of shopping to do. You may be too old to come back here and live this great religion Islam when you get through. So make it fast. Make it quick. Don't waste time with things that are obviously useless.
And when we look at the religion that we have been in as a people, 80 or 90% of that religion is proven to be worthless. What has it done for us? What has religion done for the black people or African-American people in this country? Nothing. Nothing. Still without guidance? Still without understanding? Still without a context to their life? No established life? What I mean, we have no established life. We just wait on to see what's going to happen tomorrow. Say what? I wonder what's going to be in style tomorrow.
That's right.
So we shouldn't waste time on things that have failed, that have proven to be nothing but a failure. Why waste time with that? Don't look back that way. Keep going forward. The people who have embraced this religion from our race in this country, the majority of them have more life in them. I don't mean more foolishness. Have more human, dignified life in them. When you compare the same lot, same quality of people, same level of education, same amount of exposure to the world and what's happening, take people from the other, from other religions, Protestant, Catholics, that are typical of the, of our people in status, in worldly status and social status, typical of our people, and examine them and see if they have the same percentage of alert-minded, forward-thinking, sensible people that we have. They don't have it.
That's right. That's true.
They don't have it. Most of their people are just wasted. They live like animals. They have no sense of community. No sense of community. They work for the dollar. They work for pleasure. They live for the moment. They laugh at it. They laugh at things that are sacred. Silly, lightheaded, foolish people. That's the majority. That's the majority. But the Muslims are different, even without knowledge. Yes, because most of the Muslims, they don't have knowledge yet. Most of the American Muslims. American and African-American, we don't have knowledge yet. But we have a feel. We have a feel of what the religion is. We have some knowledge. But actually knowledge, real knowledge, solid knowledge, most of us don't have it. We have to just go alone in our religion, you know. We go alone in our religion. And we are waiting for another development. That means we don't have knowledge.
Yes, sir. Right. No, that's
and that's the way it is with most people in community life, whether it's our religion or some other religion. Most people are not grounded in knowledge. They just have faith in it, and they are waiting for things to develop, and they follow what's developed, or they reject what's developed. That's the way it is with most people. But if you look at our record, our performance as a community made up of people from the poorest and the most educated, that's changing, but that's the case. You will say upon examination of this community that this community is ahead of others in their same lot or in their same situation. It is ahead. How many African Americans, how many Bilalians or whatever we want to call ourselves, how many of them have the aspirations that we have? How many of them have the sense of community that we have? How many of them have the dedication, the devotion, the interest in private school that we have? How many of them want to share in the responsibility for not only their lives, but the life of the nation, the life of the world? That's hard to find out there.
Yes, right.
That's right. I talk to the leaders. I meet the leaders. And the leaders, all they can think about is their own needs. The black man needs and his own needs. Most of the time, his own needs. I know. I talk to them. I'm not going to call any names, but I meet them and I talk to them. And most of them are worried. The thing that occupies their mind most of the time is how they're going to make it. And here God has blessed us to accept, preach, and invite others, the community,
yes, sir,
to come in while we have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not rich. We're not powerful. We have nothing. But we're still saying, let us come in and accept a share in the responsibility for the maintenance of life, not only for ourselves, but for the whole nation.
Yes, sir.
That's our preaching.
Mm-hmm.
That's our message. Identify in the responsibility. White man has been responsible. Black man have been not responsible. White man has been a leader. Black man has been a follower.
Mm-hmm.
White man has been a provider. Black man has been a beggar.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the answer is that the black man has to come into that mind where even if he doesn't have anything, he has to accept his right to have something. And if he has a right to have something, if he has a right to have equal to anybody else, then he also has a responsibility equal to everybody else.
Right.
Yes. So if we can't talk about what we got, ain't nothing. We got nothing. We got nothing. But am I going to go with a dull spirit with my head drooped because I ain't got no money? Because I don't have the power to make things happen for me? No. If I'm a human being, I'm going to go with a sense of respect. Because I know though the possessions are not here, the means for acquiring them are here. Because God has blessed every creature with equal means. White man haven't been given no advantage over the black man. Not by God. By the black man, yes. The black man gives the white man all kind of advantages over him. But God is... You think weak? What are you? That's according to Christian philosophy. One thing I know for sure, you don't have any excuse for being idle and lazy and no count anymore. And looking up to everybody else and waiting for everybody else to take care of your own responsibility to do the thing that you were created to do for yourself. You don't have any excuse anymore. No, indeed. Allah says the human being cannot have anything without striving for it. And most of us, we think striving means that we don't, that we are not going to be able to live. We think striving takes us out of life. Oh, I ain't got time to take any days off from life to work. Yeah, that's our attitude. So the majority of African American people, they just wait around. Just wait around. For something that they don't have to work for. Something that requires no constant commitment. Oh, I can't stand to be have to do that all every day. Am I gonna have to do that all the time? But Allah knows you best. You don't know yourself. Allah knows you best. And He knows that work and striving will give you the pleasure that you are trying to get out of doing nothing. Yeah, there's pleasure that you're trying to enjoy from a situation of nothing, doing nothing. God knows that you are really... doing nothing. God knows that you will really get that pleasure in abundance if you will only accept the discipline of doing something. And doing it regularly. See, is he really, is this the way Muslims teach? Is this Ta'aleem? I thank God. This is the best way I know to do it. The best Ta'aleem I can imagine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, you don't speak Arabic, so I'm not going to talk Arabic to you. And I don't speak it either. And I look like a fool speaking the part that I know how to speak to people that can't even speak that part. So I'm not going to stand up here and talk Arabic to people that don't even know what I'm saying. Some of us think Ta'aleem should be Arabic. You don't speak Arabic. So how's Ta'aleem going to be Arabic? If I was here with you regularly like your imam, I would take out 15 minutes to give you some lessons in Arabic. Then to give you some Arabic. Yes. Like he does. But I came here for an engagement. I didn't come here to start an Arabic class. I can't continue it. So good sense tell me to speak to you and quick and in the language that you understand, so we don't waste too many minutes. You know, God has, with the Quran, God shows us everything. Nothing I can say that's correct and proper that doesn't have its purest source and greatest concentration in Quran, not in what I say, not in me. Allah tells us to look at life, to look at the signs. Now, I said this many times, but I can't say it enough. Not in the graveyard. Or in the sleeping room or whatever it is. Can't be said enough. Look, the sun, we know the sun is more vital to us, more useful to us. We need that more than we need these little things that's immediate for us.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I can take off all my clothes and do without my whole wardrobe. I'll be naked. But I can manage like that for a while. I can do without a lot of things. I can even do without my sweetheart. I ain't gonna die. Not right away. I ain't never seen nobody die right away when the sweetheart left. It takes them a little while to die. If they're going to die, you know. A lot of them don't die. Most of them don't die. Hey, nigga, you hurting me now. You hurting me now. I don't want no hurt. You go on about your business. Now, I ain't going to take all this. You know, a lot of them will tell you that one thing. I didn't take up with you to hurt like this. But most of us, we know that if that sun doesn't come up, it's going to be the end of the world. It makes the day, the light for the day. It makes the heat. If it goes away, you know, even with it up there present in January, February, it still look like the end of the world sometimes in some parts of the United States, right? Yeah, you know, and it's there. It ain't going nowhere. It's there. But something happened, and it ain't giving us the heat as much. It's bad times, hard times. And those with a little general science, a little knowledge of science, they know how important the sun is for all of our products. Not only food, but also your other products. The wood, leather, everything that grows, plant or animal. The energy comes from the sun. The oil, the gas, everything has been fed by the energy that comes from the sun. So if we would look in our immediate environment, this earth, and where the eyes can go, and look for the most important things in our immediate environment, in the natural world, we would say sun, weather, earth, Now, who's boss in that world? The sun? The sun is boss in that world. It's the most important. It's doing more in that world than earth. Climate is really coming about because of the sun, the effect of the sun. On the earth, either directly or indirectly. So we just have to say the sun. Now, look at that boss. Let's take an example from that boss. That boss gets up every morning. Right? That boss gets up every morning. He doesn't say, I don't feel like it this morning. Hell, I've been doing this all the time. I need a rest. The moon ain't up like I am all the time. Let the moon take over there. Let the moon handle this thing by itself for a while. No, it keeps getting up every morning. We have to adjust our clocks to it. Because it's on a scientific program. The sun is on a scientific program. So man has to occasionally adjust his clock because the sun ain't going to accommodate him. And it stays there as the dominant influence. The dominant influence in our natural environment. The sun. It rises up, give us light. And it sets so that we may rest. But it gets back up again and give us light. And when light hits the eyes respond. Even though they're closed, the eye responds. In fact, if you want to rise up with the light, the faintest measure of dawn or light that you can't even see will be registered by your pupil and wake you up. Yes. Yeah. Now, if we would be just half as consistent as that sun. That sun is consistent.
Yes, sir.
It rises in the east, sets in the west. But not the same place in the east all the time. One season, some extreme is in one place in the east. When an extreme comes, it's another place in the east. And another place in the west, corresponding places in the west. But now, it does that every year. It's consistent. It ain't like some of us sit in the north this year, this winter, or this summer, and next year we sit in the north again. And then maybe after 3 or 4 years, we sit in the south. And then we may sit in the south for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and then later on maybe sit in the north for 1 year. Or maybe just go back and forth. That ain't consistent. Sun is consistent. Extreme heat comes, it goes north. Extreme cold comes, it goes south. Rises up every morning. Doesn't change its path, follows the same path. It has found the best discipline. It has found the best program, a program that works. The sun has found a program that works. So it keeps to it. It keeps obedient to that program that works. Now, if you don't believe in nothing, if you would just accept advice from the bigger in your own environment, you're not more important than the sun. So why don't you take a lesson from the bigger in your own environment? Take a lesson from the sun. Say, I'm going to be like the sun. I'm going to get up consistently. My movements are going to have a consistent pattern. I'm not going to change them just upon notion, impulse. I'm going to stick to what I know that's best, to what has proven to work. I'm going to stick to that. No matter how tired I am, I'm not going to be foolish and get tired enough to destroy my world. See, the fool, he gets tired enough to destroy his own world. Now, that's really foolish. Oh, I'm tired. Whenever you say you're tired and you know your life depends on you doing a certain thing, and you tired, you say, I'm tired, I'm going to stop doing it, you're saying that I'm going to let my world be destroyed. So which is worse? Which is worse for you, to be tired or to be dead? Yeah. If you got a good system for making money and you say, no, I'm tired. Hell, I'm going to rest. I don't care. Money ain't that important to me. I'm going to rest. Okay, so which one is better for you, to be tired with money or dead without money? Yes. Because when you're tired with money, you still got money life. But when you're tired when you ain't got no money, you ain't got no life at all. Right? Yes. What I'm saying is, for money, in this particular instance here, money, if money is the thing you're interested in, then money in that particular interest is your life. Not in your whole life, but just in that particular interest. And once you lose money, that life is dead. Huh? So now you get tired of following a sensible program to keep your money coming in, then you're going to let the desire to rest give you something more than rest, death. Say, well, I want to take a rest now, money-wise, dead. Huh? That doesn't make sense. And many of us will do the same thing with every other element or every other quarter of our life. It might be morals. I'm tired of being so good. Have you heard them say that? Well, I'm tired of being good all the time. That's the ignorant people. I'm tired of being good all the time. I want to have some fun. So by the same token, which is better? To be tired or to be dead? Because if you start resting from moral responsibility, soon you're going to be morally dead. Rest from material responsibility, soon you'll be materially dead. So why not follow the lesson of the greater? I don't think Allah hung that sun up there and made it to serve us as it serves us, so disciplined and so regular. I don't think God made that like that just for the sun's sake. I think he did it for our sake. And that's what he says. In everything he has put in the heavens and in the earth are instructing signs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Signs to instruct you. And how you should approach and how you should regulate your own life. How you should approach your life. How you should look at your life. And how you should regulate your own life. Yes. This is the kind of thinking we need. When you begin to think that way and enjoy it, once you start to think that way and enjoy it, then you don't need no more, you don't need somebody to come and be your mother and father and carry you by the hand like you're a little baby. You don't need to go and pay the shrink $75 to tell you another story and to put you to sleep. No. You won't need that anymore. You will be on your own feet when you begin to think that way and enjoy it. Because once you enjoy it, that means your life then has been turned on. Your life has come on to the natural world of reality. The life of sense, good sense, and responsibility. That's all we need. Now, where do I find that philosophy? In what we say all the time, Allahu Akbar. We say Allahu Akbar. God is greater. It doesn't mean God is greatest. We don't have that. A good, better, best, and all that. Allah says he created you twain. Not threes. Not in threes. Twain. Male, female. Good and bad. Wise and foolish. That's all. Ain't no Trinitarian. It's just... So we say Allahu Akbar. What is that to tell us? Muslims are people who are supposed to be attuned to good sense.
Yes, sir.
We are supposed to be alive mentally.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
So if your senses are working, if your brain is there, it's alive, it's working, then if you know what's more important, then you should automatically leave what's less important when what's more important is calling on you. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So Allahu Akbar. So whatever, is anything more important than Akbar? Allah? No, come on, pray. Yes, I'm ready.
That's right.
Huh? Because it's the greater calling me. The lesser must wait. That's the philosophy. That's the philosophy for our life. That whenever the greater is calling you, you leave the lesser and respond to the greater. Now, couldn't we solve all our problems that we have as a people if we would just follow that one particular philosophy, that one principle? If we would follow that one principle, we could solve all our problems as a people. Because our problem as a people is not knowing when to say no to something that's pulling on us.
Yes, sir.
The heat was bothering you. Hey, when are you going to stop talking? Hey, what is more important? You sweating a little bit now or going home with more sense to live better tomorrow? Yeah. So you have to be able to make these judgments.
Yes, sir.
Say, hey, where's the greater? Where's the lesser? Which one's calling on me now? The greater's calling on me. Okay, let's away. Whole race want a party. Want politicians to go to Washington and make laws that will make partying legal for black people all day, every day of the year. Yeah, we say we want better education, we want equal opportunity, we want equal money, equal pay, we want jobs. But actually, what is the motive behind all that asking? Rest, fun, party.
Of
course, party is rest and fun, isn't it? Yeah, I've been to them. They have fun, and then after a while, one fall out. So you find people having fun and resting at parties. And then some of them, they ain't got the spirit to really party. They just come there, they like to be there. Now they got to go to party. Like clockwork. Every week, every Wednesday night or whatever it is, they got to be there, but they sit there for 5-6 hours. They're sitting there. Hey, man, yeah, I saw you last week, man. You're resting. Africa is weak. Africa is weak and irresponsible. I'm talking about black Africa. Why? Because they got this sickness too that the African American got. Want a party. The white man, he really made it hard for us. Release news that certain things just couldn't change, you know. Say, hell, it's hot. Hey, baby, it's hot. It's just hot. See, this happens every season at this time. Say, I can't do it, but fan you. Say, I'm hot too, you know. So I hope a breeze come in. But even then, we were tripping out, wasn't we? Because one would claim that he saw a vision or something. Go climb up in a dead tree and sit up there and wait till the breeze changed and claim he made it happen. So then the tribe started telling him, give us some goo. Hey, medicine man, give us some air conditioning. Say, well, it's coming. I'm going to call on the great spirits. It's coming. Now the white man, he's become the medicine man for us, right? White man, he's the one to give us everything. Right? I'm hot. This ain't right. Why should I be hot? But you didn't pay your electric bill. But that ain't right. Why should I be hot? I ain't supposed to suffer like this. And after a while, they'd be demonstrating. March going down. It ain't right for us to suffer like this. It's inhuman. Well, as a white man, I'd say, look, that's not a human thing that has been brought about. No human being turned that heat up like that. So you go talk to somebody else. I'm not responsible for it being this hot. You niggas can't have no more air conditions, no more colored televisions. Come in your house, we're taking 1/5 of the earth that you got away from you. Put you on some bath floors that you can keep clean, you be more healthy. And take 50 to 75% of all your possessions away so you can live better. Yeah, that would be mercy. Yes, that would be mercy. Talking about we come from Africa. Come from the south. And get up here in the north and try to pay for air conditioning. It ain't got nothing. How can we afford air conditioning? We ain't got no money. You can't afford no air conditioning. Hey, you got air conditioning. That ain't right. Where's my air conditioning? If he got enough money to afford it, makes more sense for him than it makes for somebody that can't afford it. How long the white man been had air conditioning? We didn't already have no air conditioning. But now that the white man got air conditioning is like an artery or a vital organ. Can't live without no air conditioning. I ain't going down there, no air conditioning. Now I go down there when they get some air conditioning. Getting weaker and weaker, while time is demanding more and more strength for the individual to survive in this kind of world. And we just keep getting weaker and weaker. I don't drink water no more. What you give me here? Take this nasty water back. Give me something that you have to pay for. Right?
That's right?
Yeah. Now, we can solve all these problems with that one philosophy. When the greatest calling, leave the lesser.
Lord.
Now, our greatest need is not to have air conditioning,
right.
Not to have a soda pop instead of water. That's not our greatest need. Not to have a colored television. That's not our greatest need. Our greatest need is to have a sense of dignity and respect as a people. And we don't have it. Because all the world is looking at us as the failures of the planet Earth. That here's a people that can't manage for themselves.
That's right. Yes, sir. That's right,
So I'm managing for myself. I pay my own rent. I pay my own bills. I send my children to school. For what? For what? To go and work for the white man? Or some Asian? You should have a greater purpose than that. Even those that have relative success, you're still failures. You're failures because whatever you produce has to depend upon the outside for its livelihood. We have to become true Muslims, following the Sunnah of the Prophet. Don't tell me you're following the Sunnah of the Prophet and you're letting everybody else take care of you. Because Prophet Muhammad condemned that. And all of you are not saints that are looking for people just to do everything for you and you don't want to do anything for anybody else. There was a saintly man who was doing all of his spiritual devotions, fasting extra and praying extra prayers and everything. Saintly man. And people were so impressed with his saintliness, they brought him to Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon the Prophet, and they said, "Oh, Messenger of God, here is a man. He spends his time in prayer and in his fasting. He's most devoted. And we thought you should know about him." The Prophet said, "Who takes care of his livelihood?" They say, "We do." Say, "Well, then you're better than he is." Now, what do you think now of somebody that ain't got no saintly quality? Low base, gutter, and do nothing. But want somebody to take care of them. I ain't got no job. I ain't gonna look for one. And somebody better take care of me. I was on a radio program last week in Gary, Indiana. And I said something on that program that would make a lot of our own people kill me just on impulse. I'm glad I didn't see them around. They wasn't in there. And I had time to get out before they could come. But see, it only take a flash of a second, just a flash, like a flash of light time, for us to come to the right mind, too, you know. First, you know, so be careful, brother, man, when you say these things, you know, when you pull these people. But if you just have a little time, like sometimes I say I duck. I say. Oh, you got to make a joke out of it, you know. Say, yeah. Give them time to have that flash of light, you know. That's all they need to bring them back to their good senses. Because on an instant, they'll be done shot you or something. Threw an ice pick at you or something. The man was talking about hard times and how you Muslims fan. I say, it's always a good time in America. There's never a bad time in America for economic opportunity. That the jobs are always available in America. If you know what to do and have the desire and energy to do it. And that's the truth. Now we all, there ain't no jobs. If it was left up to most of our people, they will keep up that song for the next 10 years. As long as conditions didn't improve, a job opportunity didn't improve, they would keep singing that and singing that until full employment. Ain't no jobs. Well, if it ain't no jobs, what are all these Asians doing working in America? What are all these Cubans, Haitians, Koreans, Chinese, Vietnamese? What are all these people, Arabs? What are all these people doing working in America since you declared it ain't no job? Yeah. You declared it ain't no jobs. And we got to have jobs. Since you declared that, look how all these people that came in just working their butts off. Working? Right around you, too, some of them.
That's right.
So you see how your own leaders can be responsible for your own neglect?
Yeah, that's true.
Got you like you belong to a union. Yeah. Okay, let's sit down on them so they meet our demands.
That's the way it seems.
Yeah, okay, let's sit down on them until they meet our demands. And most of us, we have done that. We have sat down and we don't think we're supposed to look for a job. There ain't no job. Mm-hmm. Or the job is, you know, pays a little less than we expected. You know, we say, well, I ain't going to accept that job. I can make more selling smoke. And then some of them, they ain't even selling smoke. They just smoking. There's no job. As Muslims, we have to stay away from that kind of thinking, that kind of mind, that kind of spirit, that kind of attitude. We have to fight it in ourselves and help pull our brothers and sisters away from falling into that kind of groove. Because what's important for Muslim people is community. A Muslim is obligated to live with a sense of community and responsibility in that community. You're responsible for that. And we are not to just live for opportunity in the community. We are to live for the advancement of the whole community. And that's what made the white man great. When he conceived democracy for the white man and then accepted responsibility not just to get opportunity in that democracy, but for preserving that democracy and for advancing that democracy. That's what made him great.
Yes, sir.
And when you begin to think bigger, I don't care how small you are, when you begin to think bigger, you're going to become bigger. But as long as you think small, you're going to stay small. And that's an old saying. It ain't mine. It stands even today, and it will stand tomorrow. You will be no bigger than your mind.
Lord.
And not only that, the quality of your life depends on the quality of your mind. If you think cheap, you're going to be cheap. If you think funky, you're going to be funky. Don't be afraid to think. Think. Thinking frightens the hell out of most Americans nowadays. They don't want to think. That's why they buy so much dope, so many drugs, take so many pills, listen to so much loud music. Because it drowns out thought process, drowns out the thoughts. They don't want to think. Well, as Muslims, your life depends upon you thinking. Yes. Allah tells us to think. And surely the greatest thoughts is the thinking on God. Think on God. If you believe in God, in all of your misery and all of your trying time, think on God. If you believe in God, God will improve your state. Yes. The mere action or activity of thought on God will be a healing and a strength in your life to bring you up, bring you out. This is required of us as Muslims. When we sit down here after prayer or before prayer, we say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Some of you think that's a song or something. Some may think that it's a spooky ritual. That maybe one of these times you'll say Subhanallah and just take right on up to the sky. leave your problems forever. I don't know. You know, all of us crazy. We spooky. Subhanallah means glorified be God. Glorified be God. Because once you start expecting glory for yourself, it ain't got no money. You right away in hell. But even with money, hell gonna be coming. Ain't gonna take long either. Once you start expecting glory for yourself, and you know, when you want somebody to compliment you all the time, then you want glory for yourself. Yes. Sometimes at home, you know, you can't talk to your family because they want you to compliment them. You just can't talk common sense. You can't deal with this common problems of the house or make comments on the reality that's there. And there's a reality that's there, the house, in 1985. You can't make no comment on the reality in the house. You got to compliment them. Say, hey, you sure that's a beautiful dress? Oh, they can hear that, and they'll listen to that. Hey, your complexion really looks better. They hear all that. You know, you really got a nice phone voice. You got a nice voice. Hear all of that. You know, you ought to put the phone in its place when you get through talking on it. Can't hear that. And you ought to not try to talk to people out the front window. The cord ain't long enough to go downstairs out the front window. We're going to have the man come out and put the cord in again. Don't do that. You know, can't talk that to them. They don't hear that. They don't want to hear that. When you start talking like that, the TV goes up as high as it goes. Or if the radio or the record, whatever it is, it goes as high as it goes, you know. Say, hey, if you keep it up at that volume, you're going to weaken the foundation. This is not a new house. They don't hear that. Say, hey, don't pile all the stuff up in the refrigerator like that. It's hot and the dough doesn't jam good. You're going to run the motor. The motor's going to wear out. We're going to need a new refrigerator, and you're going to have to buy it because we ain't got no money. Where are you going to get it from? I can't hear that. They didn't even hear it. Tomorrow, next week, you say, remember I told you not to close that door? You ain't never told me not to close that damn door. You just a lie. You just a lie. You know you ain't told me that. When? Did you hear it, Ralph? Hey, Mary. Come here, Mary. Did you hear this nigga tell me to... And if you're the only one in the house with sense, you become crazy. You get crazy. Because you try to figure out, how come nobody... Am I dreaming these things? You ain't got a witness in the house. No. No, he just said. No, he just said. Pitiful. And all we need to do is be sensible. Except to be sensible. Now, how is that going to put us in any bad situation with each other? A situation that will favor us over each other, something like that. No, that's an equal. Doesn't that put us on equal footing? Put us in a situation where we're all equal? Yes, we can agree. Let's use good sense. That's all we need, just to use good sense. Practice good sense, and with good sense, you should be able to place importance where it belongs. And then follow the good sense to its natural, logical conclusion. And always give preference to the greater over the lesser when both demands your consideration or your judgment or your support. That's why in this religion, if I'm before the court of justice or just in the situation here,
and I have to be a witness. Person may be my friend, may be my close relative, but I have to stick to truth and what is right. I can't forsake truth and right behavior to satisfy them, not as a Muslim. Say, be just, even though it be against, or rich or poor, or near relative, no matter who it's against, at any cause, be just. Because if we start practicing this thing on this level, sooner or later, some of these who practice this on this level are going to move up to the presidency. And put the whole nation, the morals of the whole nation will be at risk, huh? And that's what happens. The society becomes so corrupt that eventually you have those corrupt types getting up into those key positions. And the more corrupt the general public is, the more chance that you'll have a greater number of those corrupt people in the top positions of the government. And then we suffer down here the wrong that we allow to brood and grow, fester. And really, there ain't nothing but our son. That's the product of our own life. Up there abusing the nation, or abusing the public. So see that God has given us the best. And those who will accept it, and try hard to discipline themselves and live it, first of all, for Allah's sake, for Allah's pleasure, but also for the good of yourself and each other and the community. Those people will become leading influence, leading people on this earth. In time, Allah says, and it is inevitable that the righteous, the believers, shall win through. No, it's scientific. If they hold to that disciplined life, if they live that excellence, they will eventually be in the forefront and rise above the situations of weakness and inferiority. God says that's inevitable. In other words, it has to happen if you stick to the real life. It has to happen. And the failure is because we don't stick to the real life. We are failing because we don't stick to the real life of excellence. So let us make a decision now and every time to choose Allah, the greater, over the lesser, and to choose His religion, the better religion, as our religion. And with these words, I say I thank you for your patience in this heat, and I thank God. Assalamu alaikum.
Hi, ma'am has another appointment that we have to attend, so we'd like to very quickly bring our mayor, the Honorable Mayor of the City of Camden.
Give you a message for your mind. Did you just sit and listen? Bring up today, tell you about the time. Cause the wicked people in the world today, trying to take what God gave you, that is your mind. Coming at you through the TV, coming at you through the radio, coming at you through the movie screen, coming at you through the disco. From behind, trying to take what God gave you, that is your mind. The problem is right,
but what's wrong?
Try to fight it,
don't let them take your mind.
Don't let them take it, no,
right. What's wrong? Don't let them take your mind.
Don't you argue, just do me.
destined for hell. She's out in your slick with your creepy things. She's mad and move around, deep and narrow curves. Just as you get around the bend, come to your mind after you read the signs that your rose has come to an end. And you were warm, but on your soul, but you chose to be slick, so your tie won't hold. That's why you got to fight, yeah.
Fight, yeah.
Don't let them take your
life. Don't let them take your life. Don't let them take your life.
Come on and fight, people. Come on and fight, yeah.
Don't let them take your
life. Don't let them take it, no.
Behind,
trying to think what God can do,
that is your mind.
That's why we say fight.
Come on and fight, people.
Don't let
them
take your mind.
Don't let them take it, no.
Don't let them take your mind.
Come on and fight, people. Come on and fight, people.
Don't let them take your mind.
Don't let them take it, no.
Yeah.
Come on, fight, people.
Don't let it take your mind.
Don't let it go out.
Fight.
Yeah.
Don't let it take your mind.
Jesus.
Fight.
Yeah.
Don't let it take your mind.
We got to
fight.